God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, it doesn't say that the angels are rejoicing. It says there's joy in the presence of the angels. See, angels don't know what it feels like to get saved. They have no idea. It's something they look into. But I'm telling you, that crowd that's up there, Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Matthew, Mark, and John and all that crowd, whew, they are rejoicing. Oh, and we're rejoicing with you as well. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. I know it's early, but I'm going to get you to sing or have a little fun with me anyway. I think we did this last time. I can't remember. I know some of you know this. Some of you don't. My thing's all twisted up. Oh, there we go. It's all out of whack there. We're going to do zip it, lock it, and put it in your pocket. All right? Anybody remember that? All right. How many of you remember zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket? Okay, for those of you that don't, this is how it goes. You ready? Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Watch the words you say. Your tongue, it is a tattletale, and it gives your heart away. Then zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket, count to 10, and pray. Control that tongue like you're pulling on the reins of a horse. Control that tongue, or you may have to eat the words you say. Now, there's another part in that song that says, The Lord hears every word we say as we work and play. Keep your heart clean every day and read God's word and pray. All right? So you can do that when it comes time. And again, I can't sing and play the guitar and do the motions, so you got to do the motions for me. All right? Here we go. Break my bones, but words won't hurt, they say. Must confess I disagree, I'll tell you why today. One day at school, a friend of mine was sad, I asked him why. A bully called him ugly, and I saw my buddy cry. Everybody ready? Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket, watch the words you say. Your tongue, it is a tattletale. Put it in your pocket, count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue, or you may have to eat the word you say. All right, we've got a lot of you that are not doing it. If you don't do it, I'm going to call you out, bring you up here, and you have to do it in front of everybody. Better get with it. You ready? Let's try it again. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Watch the word you say. There you go. Tongue, it is a tattletale, and it gives your heart away. You say behind those ivory teeth, your tongue can cut just like a sword. Sometimes we hurt the ones we love and wound them with our words. Amazing how a thing so small can cause such hurt and pain. I now know why my Bible says the tongue no man can tame. Here we go again. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Watch the word. You did good. I about ran out of breath. Oh, my. Well, I had on my heart to sing a couple of songs today, and we didn't do Herman the Bullfrog, so let's do Herman the Bullfrog, all right? Hello, children, now, how are you? Herman the Bullfrog. You can find him in the evening, sitting on a log, singing and croaking his favorite song, gazing at himself in the waters there, combing and parting his slimy hair. With his long yellow tongue in the wink of an eye, he can sneak up slow, catch and swallow a fly. That's Herman the Bullfrog. He's got his very own potty nose jungle gym. He's got a hundred tadpole named Jim, the king of the mud and a lily pad. What a wonderful life he had. Now he could jump up higher than the tallest pine, and he could move a lot quicker than the naked eye, turn a triple somersault, laughing all the time. One day Lily the butterfly came fluttering, flitting, and floating by. She said, "Hello, Herman, how are you? Got a thing or two to ask of you. Where you gonna go when you die? Where you gonna be in eternity? What are you gonna say on that fateful day? Don't you know Jesus lived and died and rose again?" What'd old Herman say? "When I go on, Lily, why can't you see? I got flies to catch and frogs to meet. There ain't no need to hurry, I've got time. So goodbye, girl, won't you move along? Don't bother me, I'm having too much fun. Go sing your song. Someone knew not me." But little did Herman the Bullfrog know that very same moment down deep below there was a one-eyed alligator marking time, watching and awaiting with a hungry eye. Poor Herman dove right before my eyes. That one-eyed gator took him by surprise, swallowed him whole in the wink of an eye. Never had a chance to say goodbye. And now Lily, she cried and said with a sigh, "Oh, Herman, I tried. Lived your life and died so foolishly. You were so hung up on frogs and flies and thinking you had lots of time. It's too late now, it's too late now for you. So boys and girls, please listen good. Don't do like a dumb old bullfrog would. Please don't wait, say yes to Jesus now. And if Herman could have a word with you, I'm sure he'd say the same thing too. Please don't wait, say yes to Jesus now." Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I want to sing you a song that I wrote after I talked to a friend of mine and his wife. They couldn't have any children, so they decided to adopt a little boy. And they adopted this little boy, and they named him Hudson Taylor after the Chinese missionary. Now, right before they adopted him, they had to go to the court and sign some papers and stuff. And the judge told my friend this. He said, "If God allows you to have children later on, you can write them out of your will if you want to. But when you put your name on this contract, adopting this little boy, by law, you can never, ever write him out of your will." And that is a beautiful picture of eternal security. Now, you won't find the words "eternal security" in the Bible, but you will find the words "everlasting life" and "eternal life." How long is everlasting? How long is eternal? That's forever, right? And so God doesn't give us part-time life. He gives us eternal life. Amen? And so this is the song. They asked me to pray about writing a song about adoption in a hotel room in Nicholasville, Kentucky, many years ago. God allowed me to write this song. "Came into this world alone, no family or home, lost and without hope. Though our blood was not the same, you gave me your last name, and I became your own. Adopted by your love for me, a brand new family I could call my own. shared God's precious word with me so that I could clearly see the promise of His truth. Adopted by Your love for me, a brand new family that I could call not the same. You heard when I called Your name, and I became Your own. Adopted by Your love for me, a brand new family that I can call my own. Thank You, Lord, for saving me, for my earthly family. That's what we're going to talk about this morning in this first session, is eternal security. Now, let's go back to our ladder. There's in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do all that is written according to that is written therein. I messed that verse up a little bit. And then thou shalt have good success. So we call this the ladder of God's success. And we talked about yesterday, the only way to get on God's ladder of success is, number one, is to be saved. So the first step is salvation. We hope that you have made that step, the step of salvation, because you can't be a success in the eyes of God until you get on His ladder of success. Amen? So the first step is salvation. And then we talked about submersion, baptism. So be born again and be baptized. And then we talked about submitting to the authority of the New Testament local church. And so submission was the next step, and then talked about growing in your faith. Sanctification was the next step. And now this step, we're going to talk about security. We're going to talk about security here. So I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you will, please, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 in the Bible. These are the security verses in the Bible. 1 John is written to the believer to help him to realize that he can know he has eternal life. He doesn't have to wonder about that or think or hope. He can know, because the Bible says here, would you stand with me? We're going to read these three verses of Scripture, if you're able to stand this morning. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Not that you're going to get it, but that you have it right now. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. And we thank You, Father, for the salvation that we can have through Your dear Son. And Lord, we love You today, and we want to learn from Your Word. And I pray that You would help me, fill me, and use me. Speak through me to the hearts of these dear people. And if anybody here has still not made that most important decision to trust Christ as their Savior, they've not been born again into His family by faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that'll happen today. And if there's one here and they're doubting and they're wondering and not sure if they're saved, Lord, I pray this would clear that up for them. And Father, we'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may sit down, and I appreciate you standing. You need to be bold. You need to be confident. You need to be convinced of your salvation. A preacher said this, "If I was the devil, I would make all lost people think they were saved, and all the saved people think they were lost." You know, and that's what the devil wants to do. You can witness to people all the time, and I've done this many times, and you meet a guy, and he's got a beer in one hand, a cigarette in the other, and say, "Hey, have you ever been saved?" "Oh, yeah, I know I'm going to heaven." Got no doubt about that in my mind. And here you have somebody who's really lost, and they think that they're saved. And then some people who come to church all the time struggle with it day after day. I want to be saved. I want to be sure, but they're just never, never sure. And we can find security in many things. We can find security in money, in our health, in our job, in our family, in our talents. You know, when I was young, I found security in my routine. I know that sounds crazy, but I did. As long as things went the same, I was very secure. I started the first grade, and this was my day. I'd get up in the morning. I'd get on the bus. We'd get to school. They'd give us a little cereal or something, and then we'd start classes. And then during the day, we'd go to recess and have lunch. And then after lunch, the bell would ring. And when the bell would ring, I knew that was time for me to get my jacket on, get my book satchel, get all my stuff together. And then I sat there and waited for the second bell to ring. And when the second bell rang, I went upstairs to this room and waited for the second load bus. That had been my routine the whole time I was in the first grade. I was very secure in that. And then one day they decided to have a fire drill. And I don't know whether I wasn't paying attention, probably so, because I went through school basically untouched by education. And so here I was as a little kid. I had my routine. Everything was the same. And all of a sudden, they're getting ready to have a fire drill. So the bell rang. This was after lunch. And the bell rang. So I thought, well, that's the bell. I went and got my book satchel, got all my books together, put my coat on, waiting for the second bell. Now, the rest of the class went and stood up in a big line up in the front for the fire drill. Now, I didn't know nothing about the fire drill. Again, I guess I wasn't paying attention. My teacher, Miss Jenkins, said, Bruce, you need to get in line with the rest of the class. I said, no, I don't. I said, I've got to wait for that second bell. Then I go upstairs and go in that room and wait for the second load bus. It's been like that ever since I've been here. I'm very secure in that. I'm good. I'll just wait right here. You can go ahead and do what you're doing, and I'll stay right here. Sister, you can't stay there. We're having a fire drill. I said, well, go ahead and have your fire drill. I'll see you when you get back. I'm telling you, I was not going to move. Then she started coming towards me, and it scared me. I got out of my seat. Next thing you know, this older lady, Miss Jenkins, is chasing me around the room. Now, the rest of the class, of course, they're just laughing and everything. She grabbed hold of my satchel. I let it go. And then she was fast for an old lady, I'm telling you. And then I was running, and she grabbed hold of my jacket, and I came out of that thing. Now, there was a door here to the hallway, and I headed out that door. I was so scared. She had messed up my whole routine. I was no longer secure. I was scared to death. I went running down the hallway, and then when you went out the doors, there were some steps going down like this in another building. There were some bushes with kudzu and stuff on it, and I dove in there like the Wizard of Oz, man. The lion, well, you've probably never seen that, and I hope you don't. That's all right. But anyway, I was so scared, and I dove into them bushes, and I was under there, and I was just a mess. Because I was not a smart kid. And I looked out of the bushes and I saw all the lines of all the classes out there. And then I went, oh, fire drill. It hit me. I went, oh, man, I'm in trouble. All of a sudden, it hit me that I was in trouble. My friend Jeff came walking around the corner there. And I said, hey, Jeff. And he looked in the bushes and he said, man, you're in trouble, boy. And I said, yeah, I know. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going back in the room so I'm going to unlock the door and let everybody back in. And I said, well, I'll just go with you, and then I can sit back in my desk and maybe she'll forget all about it. She didn't forget about it. She got up there and she lit a match and put a jar over it and showed how it could have snuffed my life out if there were really had been a fire and everything. But I was so secure and everything had been the same ever since I've been there. And when that got messed up, that messed me up. And see, when you're not secure in Christ, it'll really mess you up. As a matter of fact, David, a man after God's own heart, had sinned with Bathsheba. And during that time when he didn't confess his sin and get right with God, he was a mess for about a year. And he couldn't witness to anybody. He couldn't tell people about the Lord because he was in sin himself. And he didn't lose his salvation during that time. And if you read Psalm 51 where David got right with God, he said these words, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, because he lost his joy. And I can tell you this, if you're a Christian and you're living in sin, you're not doing right, you are not a happy camper. You will be a miserable Christian, all right? And so here we see again, I want to read these verses again, and I want to emphasize these words. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And then the next verse says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life. Not that you're going to get eternal life, but you have it right here and right now. This verse states that you can know you have, present tense, eternal life. Again, it's not something you're going to get. It's a possession that you have right now. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not that you're going to be saved. You're saved right now. You became saved by God's grace. You remain saved by God's grace. You became saved by Christ's work on the cross. You remain saved by Christ's work on the cross. The salvation you received by grace, God's undeserved favor, you continue in by grace. You don't have to keep yourself saved. God keeps you saved. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the Bible says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are called children of God because we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment you do that, you're saved, and you cannot lose that. Now, there's a lot of churches that teach that you can lose your salvation, and that's a lie of the devil. If you could lose your salvation, then God is a liar, because God said he's going to give you eternal life. And again, not part-time life. Isn't that crazy to even think about that? You know, it's just, but there's a lot of people like that. When you trust Christ, he gives you the right to become his child. And nothing we can do can merit salvation, so there's nothing we can do to keep salvation, right? I want to read this so I don't mess it up here. I am the son of Sam Fry. And though I've done many things that would surely cause my dad not to want to claim me, I'm telling you, I was a rough kid growing up. I didn't do too good a lot of times. He can never deny that I am his son. You see, his blood flows through my veins. If that is true of my earthly father, how much more is that true of my heavenly father? I am his son by adoption, and though I have done many things that would cause my heavenly father not want to claim me, he will never deny that I am his son, not because his blood flows through my veins, but because his son's blood covers my stains. See, when God looks at me now, that I become a child of God, he doesn't see my sin. You know what he sees? He sees the blood of his son that covers me and washes me white as snow. Though your sin hurts your fellowship with God, your relationship as his child is eternal and unchanging. One thing that God gives us in this book here is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, as a Christian, you can commit any sin that a lost man can do. But if you do, it will bother you. Lot was a Christian. In the Old Testament, if all we had was the Old Testament, we'd say, well, Lot was a lost man. He died and went to hell. But then in the book of Peter, it says that Lot was a righteous man, but his righteous soul was vexed every day. He was in the middle of a wicked place called Sodom and Gomorrah. And no telling what kind of sin he was doing while he was there. But while he was there, he was not a happy camper, because the Bible says his righteous soul was vexed every day. So here's the key. If you can sin as a Christian and it does not bother you, then you are not a child of the living God. Because when you sin, God will chasten you. That word chasten means he'll give you a spanking from heaven. He'll make you feel uncomfortable, and you won't want to stay in your sin. You may stay in it for a while, but you can't stay in there long, because God will make you miserable. Again, your conduct can affect your fellowship with God, but not your relationship with him. At salvation, Jesus' righteousness was imputed, and that word imputed means counted to you, for your credit to you. It's a banking term, added to your account. Romans 4:11 says that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Romans 4:23, that it was imputed to him. And Romans 4:24, before us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? If you're born again and you're saved, you are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this first point in this whole message is you are saved by God. You are saved by God. Romans 8:30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. And then our verse that's been up on the screen, my life verse, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So number one, you are saved by God. Then number two, you are kept by God. This is a wonderful thing to know that you don't have to do anything to keep yourself saved. God keeps you saved. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. John 17:12, you know, we always talk about the Lord's Prayer, but this is really the Lord's Prayer, the priestly prayer. In John 17, verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, talking about Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. It's a wonderful thing to know that God keeps you saved. Amen. The scripture teaches that true believers are indeed secure in Christ, secure to obey, not to sin. The true believer walks in obedience, but is not motivated by fear like those who believe they can lose their salvation. Because some people even teach this. If you're in the middle of doing an act of sin and you die doing that, then you're going to go to hell. There are some churches that teach that. Wouldn't you be motivated by fear walking around? Well, I got to be careful because if I happen to be sinning when I trip over and fall and hit my head and kill myself, then I'm going to go to hell. Wouldn't that be a crazy way to live? Wouldn't that be a fearful way to live? But see, they're motivated by fear who believe you can lose your salvation. But we are motivated by love for the gracious Savior. The difference is life-changing. I don't do what I do so I can go to heaven. I already know I'm going to heaven. I do what I do, hopefully, because I love my Savior, the one who saved me and the one who keeps me saved. In Jude, I know there's only one chapter, but verses 24, it says in 25, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. See, God keeps you. God keeps you. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then in verse 39, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I want to talk to you about facts and feelings. Salvation is not based on how you feel. It is based on the facts of God's holy word. Your responsibility is to respond to God in faith based on the Bible fact, regardless of how you feel. Hey, there's some days I don't feel too saved. I don't say the right thing. I don't think the right thing. You know, the Bible says that the thought of foolishness is sin. Do you ever confess your thoughts to God as sin? Because sometimes we don't think right. You know, this is where the devil, and young people, that's why I'm trying to encourage you to memorize Scripture, because this is where the devil is going to attack you right here in your mind. That's why God says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because when the devil attacks your mind, you can say, hey, I got a Scripture that says that's a lie. And you can fight the devil with the Word of God. But if you don't have the Word of God in you, you have no ammunition to fight him with. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. I want to show you these verses real quickly here. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that are pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us into glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us. Oh, I'm reading the one. I'm in 2 Peter. I need to be in 1 Peter. I'm sorry. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be God And the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, we're born again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You have to take God at his word. He said he would give you eternal life. Again, he didn't say he was going to give you part-time life. He said he was going to give you eternal life. Faith lives in the quickened spirit where we receive. That's where we what we receive at the moment of salvation. Our spirits were dead in our trespasses and sin. And the moment we got saved, our spirit was quickened. It was made alive. But feelings live in the soul where our emotions are, which can change from day to day. I remember when I first got saved, and I was so excited about being saved, and I was so excited about reading the Word of God that I didn't even want to go to sleep at night, man. And I would do this. I would be sitting down in my chair reading my Bible, my head started doing this number. So I would get up, and I would walk around the house, and I'd read the Word of God out loud. I said, God, I don't want to go to sleep. I just want to keep reading your Word. I just fell in love with the Word of God. But after about a month of that, only sleeping about 4 or 5 hours a night, my body was begging me for rest. But I thought I was losing what God had given me because I was basing my salvation on how I felt. And I remember I got so scared that night. This is what I said. I said, God, I said, I feel like I'm losing what you've given me. Now, I don't want to ever stop feeling like this, Lord. I feel so good. I feel so clean. And I don't want to ever stop feeling this way because I was basing it all on feelings. And I went into the bed right where I got saved. And I said, God, you've got to talk to me. I'm scared. And I dropped my Bible on my bed, and my Bible fell open to 1 John. You think that was an accident? No. I got on my knees, and I read 1 John. I read 2 John. I read 3 John. I went back. I don't know how long I stayed on my knees, but as the more I read it, then it just all of a sudden clicked in my brain. I said, it doesn't matter how I feel. I'm saved by faith. Amen. And I closed my Bible that night, and I said, thank you, God, for speaking to me. Amen. And I laid down, and I'm telling you, I went to sleep. Woo! Boy, I slept good that night. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3:24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And I had some sweet sleep because I quit basing my salvation on my feelings, and I based it on my faith, the Word of God. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you are saved by God, you are kept by God, and lastly here, you are preserved by God. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You are preserved by God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word preserved is the same word as kept. Now, there's some churches that teach that you have to do works to get to heaven. They say, oh yeah, you can get saved, but then you have to persevere. You have to make sure you continue doing this and continue doing that. But that becomes a work salvation. Because if you add anything to the gospel, that becomes a work. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Because if you can work your way to heaven, then you'll brag about it when you get there, right? Psalm 145:10 says, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked he shall destroy. So perseverance is the teaching that genuine believers will all persevere until the day they are with Christ in heaven. And the focus is on the person, on the Christian himself. But 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us that they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest or brought to light, that's what that word means, that they were not all of us. Now this verse teaches that those that don't persevere don't lose their salvation. Rather, they prove that they were never believers in the first place. in the very first place. Preservation, on the other hand, focuses not on the Christian, but on God himself. God is the one that preserves us. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. That's a promise from God. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, that's present tense, and believeth on him that sent me, that's present tense, hath everlasting life, that's present tense, and shall not come into condemnation, that's future tense, but is past, that's past tense, from death unto life. Wow, it's just beautiful, isn't it? John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. God's not going to throw away any of his children. John 6:39 says, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all of us which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. That word it is the quickened spirit. That's what's going to be raised up. Our body is going to stay in the grave. Our spirit is going to go to be with God. And then one day our body and our spirit will be reunited. We'll have new bodies. We'll be like Christ. And what a wonderful thing that is to even think about. And the next verse says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. In Psalm 121, the Bible says, the Lord, verse 5 and 8 says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Hallelujah. God has made a covenant with you. And I'm not going to try to get real technical and everything, but I want to teach you something here. I hope it'll help you. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 through 21, you can go back and read it if you want to. In the ancient Near East, a treaty between a superior, a lord, or a king was called a Caesarian treaty. Now, the ratification or confirmation or authorization of that ceremony required animals to be sacrificed and cut in half. And they would cut them in half. The animal parts were then arranged in two rows on the ground, forming an aisle between them. As a Caesarian walked between the two halves, he was publicly declaring he would keep that covenant and would become like those slain animals if he failed to keep his word. Now, when Abraham asked God how he could be sure his promises would come to pass, God used this culturally significant symbolism of the Caesarian treaty to affirm his promises. When the torch passed through the pieces of the sacrifice, Abraham understood God was declaring it was his job to keep the covenant. God's job, not Abraham's job, but God's job. And so that is a beautiful picture. See, the God's covenant with Abraham and God's assurance of his completion extends to the followers of Christ. That's us. That's why Paul repeatedly refers to believers as sons of Abraham in his New Testament writings. Isn't that beautiful? Romans 4:13 says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And Romans 4:16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, promise might be sure to all the seed. And Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he hath promised, he was able also to perform. In John chapter 10:27-30, the Bible says, keep hear my voice, and I know them, and I follow them, and they give unto me eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I want you to think about something. Imagine this guitar pick is me. And the moment that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, I was placed in the hand of the Father, in the hand of the Son. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 that I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, the Bible says here that no man can take that from me. That means you can't take my salvation from me. I'm a man. I can't take it from myself. I am secure in Christ. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. Ephesians 1:14 says, which is the earnest, that's another word for down payment, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of glory. See, God has sealed us. When you get saved, God has put a seal on you, and nobody can break that seal. Nobody can break that seal. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We're going to sing the song Amazing Grace when we end this portion today. But John Newton understood this doctrine of eternal security. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. United States Bullion Depository in Fort Knox, Kentucky, is a fortified building that stores 5,000 tons of gold bullion, other precious items entrusted to the federal government. Fort Knox is protected by a 22-ton door, layers of physical security, alarms, video cameras, minefields, barbed razor wire, electric fences, armed guards, unmarked Apache helicopters. Based on the security of Fort Knox, is considered one of the safest places on earth. As safe as it is, there's another place that's safer, and it is filled with something more precious than gold. Heaven holds our gift of eternal life. Heaven holds our gift of eternal life. I had a lot more I could read, but I'm going to end this up. If you're here today and you're struggling with the security of your salvation, I've found as I've gone around the country and dealt with people, a lot of times there's three things that are going on in a person's life that will cause them to doubt their salvation. Number one, you're not spending time in the Word of God every day. If you don't do that, that will cause doubt in your heart and in your mind. If you're not taking time every day, remember, no Bible, no breakfast. I hope already had one come up and said that they did the Proverbs this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you did that. That was wonderful. So did I. But the thing about it is that when you don't spend time in the Word of God, there's two Jim Berg said, there's two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. If self you choose, you will lose. If God's your choice, you will rejoice. Amen? Something like that. So, number one, you're not spending time in God's Word. Number two, you have unconfessed sin in your life. Unconfessed sin in your life will cause you to doubt your salvation, because you're not separated from God, but your fellowship is broken with God. When you have unconfessed sin in your life, if you're doing things that are wrong as a child of God and you know it and you don't confess it to God and get right. See that verse, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, as a child of God, you're already forgiven. But when you sin as a child of God, you need to confess that sin. And the moment you confess it, hallelujah, you are forgiven. God will never bring it up again. Now, the devil may bring it up again, but you know what? Once you have confessed a sin, God has put it behind His back to remember it no more, to the depths of the sea. As far as the east is from the west, He's removed our transgressions from us. So number one, if you're struggling with doubt about your salvation, you're not spending time in God's Word, or you have unconfessed sin in your life, or number three, you're not saved and you need to get saved. You need to get this settled. If you're struggling with it, come to me. Come to pastor. Come talk to somebody. Don't just keep struggling with it. The devil wants you to struggle with it because he knows if he can get you to doubt. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. He got Eve to doubt God's Word. And that's what the devil will do. He'll get you to doubt God's Word. Because what the devil said to Eve was, hey, if God was such a good God, He wouldn't hold anything back from you. He'd give you anything you wanted. Well, He told us not to eat that tree. Well, and He'll always tempt you to do wrong. God will always test you so you will do right. You will do right. You are saved by God. You are kept by God. You are preserved by God. So let's thank God for the security that we have in Jesus Christ. One last thing. One time in my Christian walk, I started thinking, I didn't get saved until I was 43 years old. So I had a lot of past sins and stuff. And one day the devil was attacking my mind and reminded me of all the things that I had done. And I started weeping. And I was so downhearted and so discouraged.
I said, I got to go talk to my brother. So I went to my brother's office, and when I walked in, he said, brother, what's wrong? And I said, Sammy, I'm thinking about all those 43 years of my life and all the sin that I did and how I've wasted my whole life. And he said, Bruce, he said, that's under the blood of Christ. God's never going to bring that up again. That's all under the blood. He's removed it as far as east is to west. He remembers it no more. He's put it behind his back. It's to the depths of the sea. He said, don't go fishing where God's put up a no fishing sign. Amen. I said, yeah, I guess so. And he said, I want you to go memorize Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. My brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what? He made this statement. I never forgot it. He said, Bruce, you'll never do anything for God in the future if you continue to live in your past. Hey, let's thank God for the security we have in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you a question. Are you secure in Christ? Are you 100% sure that you're heaven born and heaven bound? If you have any question about that, any doubt, nobody's looking around, just between me and you and God, I want to pray for you. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Say, pray for me, Bruce, because I'm just not sure that I've ever truly got that settled, and I'm having some doubts, and I'm having some questions. Please pray for me. Is there anybody I can pray for like that today? Would you just raise your hand? Bruce, please pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else, please pray for me, because I'm just not sure. I have some questions. I have some doubts. Father, thank you for these little hands that were raised, and you know the heart behind the hand, and I pray that you would help them and give them the understanding about how much you love them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You give us the promise of heaven once we get saved. And God, help us to be secure in that. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness. If God spoke to your heart in this message in any other way, would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? God spoke to your heart. Father, you see the hands of your children. I thank you for speaking to their hearts. And Father, I thank you that we can take another step on the ladder of God's success and be secure in Jesus Christ. Would you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? We're going to play and sing together Amazing Grace. If God spoke to your heart, you need to come talk to him. The altar is open. If you raised your hand, you're not sure about your salvation, please come let us help you today. I'm in the wrong key. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm blind, but now that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. I want to give these at the altar, plenty of time. So let's sing it one more time. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Father, thank you for your precious word that tells us that we can have eternal life. We don't have to hope we have it. We don't have to think we have it. We can know we have eternal life. Thank you for eternal security in Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. You may be seated. I can attest to that fact. I have, throughout my Christian walk, struggled with doubt many, many times. And for years, I struggled with it. But it wasn't until I got deeply rooted in this book that it basically went away. And I'll be honest with you, even to this day, the devil comes back and says, "You sure you're really saved?" And you know where I take him? Just where Jesus did. Amen. It is written. See, and that's the best thing you can fight him with. Jesus used the word to show us how we should handle that. That's what we need to do, but you got to know it to use it. And see, that way, no matter how you feel, you stand on the word. And then and then that could give you peace. That's why I say this, you hear me say this all the time. That's why the devil doesn't want you in the Bible. Why do you think it's so hard to find time to read it? Why do you think it's so easy to get sleepy when you read it? We were talking about that this morning. I said, there's nothing that puts me to sleep faster at nighttime than listening to the Bible. That's not an accident. The devil knows the effect it will have on you if you get in it. So get in it. Learn it. Memorize it. And when the devil comes knocking with doubt, you can use the dagger of the word and say, it is written. This is what the Bible says. This is what I did. And if I did what God told me to do, this is what he says he did. That's why I encouraged the young lady that made the profession last night and got born again. Romans 10:13 is where I take the new believers. I said, did you do this? If you did that, the Bible says God did this. Amen. And you stand on the word. Not on your emotions or your feelings, although I'm sure they were amazing. But stand on the word of God. Yet another truth-loaded message. And I praise the Lord for that. But we got one more rung of the ladder. We had to climb up. It's okay to climb the top of this ladder, okay? But I'm excited to hear the final message in climbing the ladder of God's success. But we're right now here in just a moment. We are going to close in a word of prayer. And before we do, listen closely. Once again, all kids, when we get done praying, it doesn't give you a green means go to go play outside. We're going to have fun. But first, we're going to set up for lunch. So listen closely. I'm going to give the layout. The first step is we're going to take these chairs. And Brother Chris, you're going to get the dolly right. So we're going to take these chairs, stack them up. If you're not strong enough to do that, don't try to do it. But we'll stack them up, get the chairs. We're going to put them in the Sunday school room. Is that where they're going to go? There and maybe on the sides if we can do that. And then we're going to set three tables right here. Three big tables and then one little table right there. Behind Miss Priscilla and her mama, right there on the corner. That's where our drink table will be. We'll have a couple tables in the hallway for pizza and desserts. I believe that's it, right? Yeah, and chairs. Yes, sir. Yeah, we need chairs. You mean you don't want to eat standing up? Okay. Thank you, Brother Steve. And that'll definitely be an area where all the kids can help. We've got chairs in the Sunday school room, but we got all kinds of chairs outside right around here, right there. So what we're going to dismiss in a word of prayer. And then if you don't know what you need to do, come see me, and we'll send you in the right direction. But do not leave this room until we've got it set up. And then after that, you can go have some fun, okay? Yeah. So let's close in a word of prayer. He sounded excited about the fun, not the work. So, amen. So let's close in a word of prayer, and then we'll get to getting stuff set up. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the truth that we have had preached to us these past three services. Lord, I thank you for the assurance that you give us in your word. And I pray that you'd help every believer in this room to get deeply rooted in your word, to hide it in their heart, to make it the apple of their eye. So, Lord, when the devil comes with temptation or doubt, we can say, it is written, just as you did, and he will flee. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just empower us by your grace to be as good of children of yours as we can be for your glory. I pray now, Lord Jesus, for the rest of our day, our time together as we set up. I pray you'd make it easy. I pray you'd keep us safe. And I'm going to go ahead and pray for the food that will be here in just a little while. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the food. I pray to help us to give us strength, and I pray to help us use that strength for your glory. And, Lord, I pray bless the final service at 2 p.m. today. I pray to meet with us. Lord, that's not just an extra add-on, slap-on-the-end service. We want you to do something in that service, too. And I pray, Lord, that you touch your man as he shares your word. And I pray to open our ears to hear what you have to say to us. Lord Jesus, we love you. We pray all this in your holy name. Amen.